Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Hello, this is John Anderson, the e-security columnist for the CPA Technology Advisor. This is the September 2008 column entitled Identity Theft and the Public Accounting Firm. This month's column is an interview with Robert Listerman. Bob and I recently spent a lunch hour together and talked about the problem of identity theft and how technology plays a role in identity theft. It was very informative, eye-opening, and interesting conversation. And based on what we discussed, I thought it important to point out that practicing accountants need to understand this problem. Practitioners need to be aware of the requirements the government is imposing on all users of personal information and why these rules could potentially cause significant issues for our profession. Generally, identity theft is not directly linked to specific technology, but technology becomes the enabler that allows identity theft to occur because the root cause could be a poorly implemented firewall, improper security patching, or sloppy technical implementations. The technology is not to blame. Rather, it is the way the technology is utilized or implemented. While the focus this month is on the problem of identity theft and some of the government requirements being placed on all businesses, including the accounting profession, you should also be mindful of the underlying technology issues as you read. Technology properly implemented can prevent identity theft in a firm. The key question should be whether enough has been done with the technology to ensure that it is not enabling identity theft. Before we get into the content of the interview, I would like to introduce you to Bob. Robert Listerman, Bob, is a Michigan CPA with over 25 years of experience as a process improvement business consultant. He graduated from Michigan State University and became a CPA while employed at Touche Ross & Co. Detroit, now known as a member firm of Deloitte & Touche USA LLP. Bob added the Certified Identity Theft Risk Management Specialist, CITRMS designation, issued by the Institute of Fraud Risk Management in 2007, which recognizes his knowledge and experience in identity theft risk management. Over 50% of identity theft can be traced back to unlawful or mishandling of non-public data within the workplace. Recent federal and state laws have been enacted to bring both criminal and civil liability to any organization that improperly maintains data on customers, employees, vendors, and even its own non-public identifying information. Now that we have an idea of Bob's background, let's take a look at the security problem that can affect public accounting firms just as much as it affects the business clients we serve. John, what is identity theft? Bob, identity theft is the use of personal information by someone other than the rightful owner of that information for purposes of criminal activity. Generally, the criminal is using this information to benefit financially. In many cases, the person using the information is also not the person who originally obtained the information. Some of the more common types of identity theft include the following: driver's license theft, the use of a fake ID to commit or cover a crime; social security number theft, the use of a person's social security number to obtain income, generally payable through a 1099 or W-2. Character criminal ID theft, the use of an ID to cover criminal activity from another state. For example, a criminal carrying an apparently valid driver's license in Virginia using someone else's identity covers up the fact that Maryland has revoked a criminal's driver's license because of too much drunk driving activity. Medical theft, the use of someone's ID to obtain test results. For example, someone who suspects they might be HIV positive could use someone else's identity to obtain the test and the results. Financial identity theft, the theft of information for purposes of stealing money from the victim. Question from John. How large is the problem? Response from Bob. In overall terms, the problem of identity theft is larger than the war on drugs. It is the most reported crime to the Federal Trade Commission and is growing at a rapid pace annually. The other thing that makes this a large problem is that law enforcement has the most difficulty in pursuing the criminals committing these crimes. The problem is also multi-pronged because the Internet allows criminal gangs in Eastern Europe, China, Russia, or other parts of the world to hack into computers in the United States and steal information. They then post this on the Internet for sale to others who actually use the information. Not only does this make it a large problem in terms of size, but it is also the reason it is so difficult for law enforcement to arrest and prosecute those responsible. Many times, identity theft is a crime of opportunity, such as shoulder surfers stealing information from someone at work or the public library, or a member of the cleaning crew working after the office is empty and obtaining information left out in someone's desk. There is an active market for stolen identities, and depending on how much information is available on a particular person, the price for the stolen identity can be in the hundreds of dollars. In many cases, the stolen identity, when used, generally results in small losses that are more of a hassle for law enforcement. Since finding and prosecuting the criminals, especially if they originate overseas, is difficult, many times the only people prosecuted for the identity theft are the users of the stolen identity. Question from John. Why should accounting firms be concerned? Response from Bob. The primary reason accounting firms should be concerned is because of the loss of reputation. 20% of customers who are affected by identity theft originating from a single source will cease doing business with that entity. 40% will look at other competitors with the idea of possibly changing to that provider. 5% will sue the entity who caused their identity to be compromised. Because tax and accounting professionals and other public accounting entities are held to a higher standard in terms of confidentiality, it is likely the number of clients who would move their business would be greater than 20% for a public accounting firm. In addition to loss of faith by the customer base, the rules regulating the control of financial information promulgated by the FTC can be enforced both criminally and civilly against the entity. Several provisions of the Graham-Leach-Bailey Act of 1999 can be enforced by the states in addition to the federal level. Affected individuals can have claims against the organization and as a result create a going concern issue for the affected entity. If executive management is determined to have complete disregard for the provisions of the law and regulations, they can be held criminally responsible. Question from John. What are accounting firms required to protect under law? Response from Bob. Personal identifying information, PII, is what we are expected to protect. This includes the obvious, such as Social Security numbers, credit card numbers, bank account information, and birth date, along with many things we don't think of, such as an unlisted address or telephone number. The rule of thumb is that if it's not publicly available as a resource established, in a resource established as a public source, such as a phone book, then it is PII. Public accounting firms are still subject to the provisions of the Graham-Leach-Bailey Act, even though we are no longer required to send out privacy notices. Public accountants should talk with their corporate attorney or professional liability carrier for further clarification about what and how to deal with PII. In addition to these items here in the column, online at www.cpatechadvisor.com/go/2077, there is additional content from this column that answers the following two questions. What can we do to comply with the various laws applicable to public accountants? And what resources are available to help me comply? In addition, you'll also find more information about FACTA, the Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act. This is bonus material related to the column, and I encourage everyone to take an opportunity to check that out once they have an opportunity to be in front of a computer where they can go to that website. In addition, I have a little closer look box that we're going to read the excerpts from. These are excerpts from the FTC guidelines on handling personal information. There are just a few points here, some selected items, but there are obviously more at the FTC website, ftc.gov, and I encourage you to look at those as well. These points, these excerpts, are as follows. Take an inventory of the types of personal identifying information you have in your records. Determine who has access to that information, what its process flows are through the organization, and how it is disposed of. Make sure security is sufficient to deal with all types of threats, both physical and electronic. Make sure you are protected from viruses, keyloggers, deliberate theft by employees, electronic or physical paper files, and spyware. Have a set of disposal processes that is communicated to those who need to know. This is the who, what, when, and how of the disposal process for PII information. That concludes our column for this month. I again encourage you to go out and take a look at the online exclusive bonus content. It has some very interesting information in regards to answering those two questions. And we look forward to seeing you next month. Have a good month.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.